Thank you for your presence. You're an amazing God. We love you tonight, Father. We love you tonight, Holy Spirit. We love you tonight, Holy Spirit. How tender you deal with us, Father. We love you tonight, Jesus. Just in this prayerful moment, I would like us all to get as close to the front as we can. If we could, please, I'd appreciate that. Every time we move from a seat, I want it to be symbolic that we're prepared for change in our life. Because if you sat back there, I might get a complex you don't like me. The Holy Spirit has become a great friend of mine. And I love him dearly. I never want to be slick. And I never want to be professional. I want to be godly. And I want to be holy. And I want people to see the Holy Spirit on me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us tonight to overflowing. Release your love and comfort over us tonight, Father, we pray. Many of us in terrible battles in life, we simply just need to know that you're there as the comforter. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send someone else, the comforter. And many times we don't need answers, we need comfort. I was sitting in the hotel room this morning. I actually woke up in the hotel this morning. And I felt out of sorts. Felt really, really lonely. And I don't really see my family or my wife for just under 2 months. It's a long time to be away from your family. And so I was just, I'm a soaker. So when I was preparing to come here tonight, a couple of hours ago, I began to just soak in the presence of God. And I just began to lift my spirit, because I do miss my wife. I do miss my grandchildren, and I do miss my son and his wife. I miss my house. I miss my life. You don't really have one over here. I mean, honestly, you've got meetings, Walmart, Panera Bread, and the hotel if you want to stay healthy. If you don't want to stay healthy, you gorge yourself spitless at Longhorn or something. And I'm a glutton for burgers with egg on it. It'll kill me. Oh, no, I better not say that. That's not a good confession. But as I was driving here, it was incredible. And it made me so blessed when the Lord began to speak to me. And to come here from the hotel, I've got to do a U-ey. I've got to go down the road, turn left, and come back, Walmart on my left, and then towards Howard. And as I was, I completed the U-ey, and I was coming back, and the Lord said this to me. It was just the most amazing thing. Now, God is not a chatterbox. I think many times we say God spoke to me, and it was really your divine imagination. There's nowhere in Scripture where God is a chatterbox, because when He speaks, it can take years to process the true word of God. So as I was as I was doing the UE, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Hey, me and the Holy Spirit, we're going to do this together, this trip." And an Australian way, I mean, you'd probably say bud to you, but I felt the Lord saying, "We're going to be your mates on the trip." And I felt tremendous comfort with the presence of God. And sometimes we don't need some slick answer from God. Not that he gives slick answers, but you understand what I mean. We just need to know that God's got us covered and that the comfort of the Spirit, I can go through any hell on earth, providing I have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Because it's naive to think that we're not going to go through trouble and strife and crises. That is ridiculous. The Bible says, in this world you will have tribulation and you will have trials. But it's the way we navigate through those things. And we have to learn to become presence junkies, to be able to lock into the presence of God more than anything else. Because outside of the presence of God, I'm telling you, nothing ever makes sense to me. The moment I get into the presence of God, everything makes sense to me. I can think clear. I can speak clearly. I can hear clearly, providing I know the comfort of the Spirit of God is with me. And I'm telling you something. One of the things that evades many Christians is comfort. Because the world will beat up on us. Sometimes we get beat up in the workplace. We get beat up at school. We get beat up just by people. I'm telling you, we live in a very nasty world. The world that I grew up in is not like the world is today. People are nasty. They're violent. And there's an angry spirit through America. There's an angry spirit through Australia. Road rage in Australia is his epidemic proportion. You can't afford to even look the wrong way. Some guy going to get out of his car and beat the out of you. We're in an angry world. People are angry. They're angry and they're frustrated. They're at a loss for answers. So we need the comfort of the Spirit. And we need to lock into the presence of God. What I love about the presence of God, he doesn't care what denomination we belong to. When you get to heaven, God's not going to say, "Excuse me, what are you?" "I'm Baptist." "Sorry. Only Pentecostals are allowed in here." Now, he's not going to do that. God doesn't care. I heard one preacher say this one time. He said, "Every time we look in the newspaper at the church notices, we see man advertising their divisions." When I was in the move of God in the 90s, and when I say that, it sounds like I haven't had a move of God since. That's ridiculous. But I'm talking about a national move that captivated a nation. See, many of you haven't even heard of Brownsville. And yet millions of people went through Brownsville through Steve Hill's ministry. Steve said, he told me when I was talking to him, he said, we would pray for people into 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He said, many times we would pray until the sun came up. The glory of God was so heavy. And he said, what happened then? He said, I go back to the hotel and they were lined up in the foyer, in the lobby of the hotel, waiting to be prayed for there. And people from all over the world, including my country, all the people from all over the world were drawn to Pensacola. And when you got there, it wasn't such a... In fact, most of the testimonies I heard was that it wasn't until like people got home that something that they got there dropped on them. So when the move was present and we were seeing a national move of God, people came from everywhere. And one of the things I see around the country that pastors are frustrated at people not coming. But I'm here to tell you by experience. I've been 50 years of ministry. I began when I was 20. So 50 years in the ministry, I want to say this. You cannot make people come to church. You can scold people, you can do all kinds of things, but people will come only if they are drawn by the Spirit of God. God will draw them. It takes God, because we're so addicted to busyness in this world today, we haven't got time for revival. We haven't got time for a move of God. So God has to arrest us to get us to come to a place like this. And it's God that grows the church. It's God that increases. I can't understand the increasing process with God, because one time I was in a part of a large ministry, and I was the worship leader on mainline television, Channel 9 in Australia, nationwide. And so every Sunday morning I would lead worship. And then my boss, who was the lead evangelist, one of the best evangelists I've ever seen in my life, he came to me one time and he said, there's a group up about 2.5 hours from here, or 2 hours from here, up a mountain range. I want you to go up and take a midweek meeting for me. The meetings he couldn't do, I did. So I was driving towards this meeting. And I was scheduled to be there once a night per week for 3 weeks. And I had 50 people up there, Baptists actually. And he thought, seeing I was a Baptist, he would send an ex-Baptist. But when I got transformed by the Holy Spirit, trust me, I had no familiarity with the Baptist at all. Because I was crazy when I got baptized in the Spirit. And so I went there, and we had such a move of God that over a three-week period, we went from 50 to 10. I had revival by subtraction. People were so enthralled at my charisma and my ability to communicate, they left Dodge. Hallelujah. And I was left with 10 miserable people that was probably thinking, this is my last night. And as I was going up the range, I remember this very clearly, as I was going up this mountain range, halfway up, and I couldn't wait to finish this night, I just wanted to leave and get back to the big crowd, because I was a prominent ministry in a church of almost 3,000. And here I am ministering to 10. And so as halfway up the range, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to tell these people this. And I said, yes, Lord, anything you say, tell them that you are their new pastor. And I said, excuse me? I hate these people. I mean, look, Joel will tell you, I'm truthful. I'm real, and I'll tell it. If I wear my heart on my sleeve. I couldn't stand this place. I couldn't stand the town. I couldn't stand the people. And when 40 left, there was almost a sigh of relief, because I thought, this nightmare is going to be over shortly, and I'll get back to the big, the bright, and the beautiful. So I fought the Lord up that mountain range. I said, what are you saying to me? I cannot do this. I said, number one, if the people don't kill me, my boss is going to kill me without consulting with him. Because they were scheduled to have a tent, and I was going to lead worship in a tent. Big tent. Glory to God. And I had a character of a boss. He was a character of an evangelist. What I call a colorful character. And so I said, well, if I must. So I went up and I stood before these 10 people. And I said, in 2 weeks' time, I'm coming back for a healing crusade. And they looked at me. And I thought, what an amazing response. And I said, number two, the Lord told me I'm your new pastor. And there was absolute silence in the house. And I thought, well, that didn't go over too good. And so I'll be up in 2 weeks. So I feverishly tried to find an evangelist that could take a healing meeting. And I couldn't find anybody at such short notice. So someone said, why don't you advertise yourself on radio? And it's hard to make up your own ad. come see me, I'm brilliant. I mean, what do you say? I'm not into self-promotion. And so the announcer got the bits and pieces, put an ad together, and they ran ads for 2 weeks. And it was to be in a venue called Groom Park Hall. And so the night that I was to go up and do this healing meeting, it rained and thunder and lightning. The lightning just about scared the life out of me. Crack! Like this. And I thought, my God, I'd be lucky to get a dog out tonight in this weather. And when I walked into the building, there was about 160 people waiting in the hall. I was absolutely shocked. They had the church round, so the stage remained empty. They had a lectern over there, and they had the chairs round this way. And when we finished the meeting, it was a powerful meeting. And when we finished the meeting, a guy came up to me and he said, "See all those boxes on the stage?" He said, "Be careful with those boxes." And I thought, my God, they're going to blow me up. Hallelujah. And I thought, wonder what's in those boxes. So after everybody left the meeting, I brought a mate up with me in case I needed help. And we went into the boxes. And back in the day, this is back in the day, we started going through the boxes and it was all filled with food and envelopes. And I began to open the envelopes and there's about $600-700 in an offering. From that moment, we never went below 160. And by the time we got to 8 months down the track, we were running close on 400 people. My boss wanted to kill me because he wanted me back in the main center. But I watched God do miracles. Only God can cause the increase. How did that happen? I don't know. Men of God, things happen like that, and they write books, how I grew a church. But the reality is, and the truth is, there is dumb as an ox. No one knows how God adds to a church. He just adds. And the only thing that's going to arrest the American church is a mighty move of the Spirit and a revival and an outpouring. It's the only thing that's going to make America stand up, leave their busy lives. And it's amazing because when revival does come, it's amazing how unbusy we become. When I walked into America in 94 and walked into a massive move of God, unbelievable, hundreds and hundreds every night, prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people every night, two meetings a day, 6 days a week. Even in the morning meetings, people were getting drunk in the Spirit just listening to the sermon, for God's sake. My keyboard player in one church, the pastor's now dead, gone to be with the Lord, but she fell over off her stool while she was worshiping, fell off her stool, and then she picked herself off the floor for the night service and got back on the stool and played for the night service. It's the Spirit of God that we want. And you're not going to make people come to church. You can't make people come to meetings. So what I've done, I resign myself to whoever's there. And you never know when a suddenly is going to show. I'm always expected that somewhere is going to be a spiritual explosion and people are going to come running into the house of God. How do you know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes in this place? How do you know what's going to happen in the next week? And I question God, because when you go from huge meetings to meetings as small as this, you question God. Well, I did years ago. I questioned God and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Just keep plowing. Be faithful in the Word of God." I've called you to minister, whether it be to Jesus. Turned from the multitude, the Bible said. He turned from the multitude and talked to 12 men. If you can't speak to one person, God's not going to give you 100. Hallelujah. I want us to turn to a scripture in Exodus. This is not my message tonight, but I just want to, well, I don't think so. Can I minister on the call of God tonight? if I can. Glory to Jesus. Anybody in the meeting tonight have pain in your body? You have pain in your body tonight. One, two, three. Anybody else? Four. Anybody else? Five. Sister, what's wrong with you? Down the back, yeah. Would you come out here, please, for a minute? Now, I'm not popping a pill. I've just taken an Altoid. One time I prayed for a lady, and I was enthusiastic, laid hands on her head, and I prayed for her, and the Altoid flew out of my mouth and stuck to her forehead. Glory to God. I thought to myself, there's that poor woman, there's missiles flying through the air. Glory to God. And I'm very weary, so sometimes I've got to juggle the Altoid around in my mouth. Hallelujah. Stay down there, you critter. Heal. Lord, so your back. What's wrong with your back?
It's something new.
New?
Yeah, it's almost as if there's like, it feels like there's an octopus stuck to the middle of my back.
Okay. Just come out here a little bit. Show me where. Right down there?
Yeah.
Are you in pain tonight? Just face me. Are you in pain tonight?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Would it hurt you to touch your toes?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you just show me? Stand up. How's that make you feel?
It's fine.
Can you aggravate it this way?
Yeah.
That would aggravate it.
Yeah, and sitting down.
And sitting down. Okay. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, heal her tonight, Holy Ghost. Now, heal this precious lady. In the name of Jesus. Okay, just twist. How's that feel? Any improvement?
No.
No, good. Put your hands down. Don't pray, don't speak in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, heal her tonight. In Jesus' name. Loose her! Now, move. How does that feel? Still the same? Okay. I want you to sit on that row there and don't move. This row is now designated to waiting to get healed row. All right? No, seriously, when I'm praying for people and they don't get it right away, I put them in a row, and we have seen great things happen as they've waited on the Spirit. Who else has got pain? Sister, come here. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, what's wrong with you? Your back and your hip. Are you sore tonight? You hurt all the time. What's the problem? What's causing that? When's the last time you touched your toes? A long time? Yeah? Let me just show me how far you can get down towards the ground. Well, that's not too bad, girl. How did that feel doing that? It pulls, does it? Just come a little bit over this way. Thank you. Show me where. Right there? Okay. Now. In the name of Jesus. Now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how's that feel? I felt something coming to you from my hand into your back. So how's that feeling? Any improvement at all?
I've fallen twice the last 2 weeks, so that hasn't been my back.
Father, right now, Holy Spirit, don't pray. Just relax. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Loose her. Now, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. How's that feel? Touch your toes. Come back up. How's it feel? Any improvement at all? Not really? Well, it's stubborn tonight, isn't it, huh? Okay, I want you to go and sit next to that sweetie pie over there, okay? Thank you. All right. Who else? I'm not giving up on this. All right. I'm not giving up on this. Sometimes we see, and Joel's been in a meeting, we've just seen a flow of miracles, just amazing. Yes, sister, come here. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal by the power of God. When you come, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to raise your hands or speak in tongues. What's the problem? Sore? Degenerative disc disease. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Ghost. Loose! Right now. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How's that feel? It feels good.
It feels good.
Does it?
It does.
Wow.
It doesn't hurt.
Would it hurt you to do what you're doing?
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah, it would hurt.
So how long have you been like that?
Many years.
Many years. So keep moving that leg, eh? How's that feeling now?
Really good.
Feels good.
No pain.
No pain. Isn't God good? Now imagine we'd given up with these two. But I'm come back to hit them and slap them within an inch of their life. Hallelujah. How's it good? Does that feel good? Raise your hands because the anointing's on you. There it is. Whew. Hallelujah. Anybody else tonight with pain in your body? Quickly. Are you praising God or you got pain in your body? Pain. Come out here. Thank you, Jesus. What's wrong, precious? Your lower back and gout. That's a rich woman's disease. So they tell me. Put your hands down. Don't speak in tongues. Don't pray. Is this where it's painful? Right there? Okay. You sore tonight? Yeah? Now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now. Now, Jesus, 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 now, Holy Ghost, Aramashikiata. How's that feel? Any pain? No pain. How long have you had that for? Okay, so how's it feeling right now? Feels good? The Holy Ghost all over you. All over you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, sister, did you have something wrong with you? Hallelujah. What's wrong with you, precious?
I think it's from exercising. This is.
Are you an exerciser?
I'm starting to be.
Good.
And,
just right there on the hip?
Back and this hip really.
Okay. Okay, don't pray, don't speak in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now. Now, in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit. How's that feel? It feels better. Raise your hands. Holy Ghost all over you. All right, come here, girl. Now do this. How does that feel? Still the same? Yeah? Hands down. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal it tonight, Holy Spirit. Right now. Right now. Now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Move your waist. How's that feel? Huh? Any improvement? You feel the anointing? Yeah. It's very strong up here.
Yes, it is.
Keep doing that. How's that feeling now? Jesus. How's that feeling?
The middle back
is good. So there is improvement?
Yeah,
my head is good. Cool. All right, go and sit down. And just say, no, in the front row here. Come here. One more time. I came out of a movement where my senior pastor, who would have to be one of Australia's greatest evangelists, taught us that to have miracles and healings in the meetings, you had to create an atmosphere for miracles to happen. And he used Mark 11, 23, 24, you shall say to the mountain, be thou removed. And he operated on the word say. So he would speak out into the meeting in our staff prayer meetings, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that miracles will explode in the church on Sunday. The anointing's on you a little bit, isn't it? Because it's quite thick up here. And so we'd all pray. We'd all walk around the church. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that miracles shall flow today. We see people getting great miracles, long-term illnesses, terminal illnesses, cancers, people out of wheelchairs being healed in the name of Jesus. And we spoke it into the atmosphere. Don't you dare leave that front row. We spoke it into the atmosphere. Until there was such an atmosphere of miracles that when people came in that were affirmed and sick, because they came from all over Australia to this place, people would get healed. I remember one time a woman pushed her husband, who had a severe stroke and he was paralyzed, literally all of him was paralyzed, and they pushed him out in front of my pastor, and he looked at him and he prayed for him in the wheelchair. And to make a long story short, he pushed his wife back in the wheelchair, 100% whole. He also had a word of knowledge on salvation. So he had operated this way. He was saved in a Billy Graham crusade when he was in the stock camp in the outback of Australia. He rode a horse. He never used cutlery, knife and fork, until he went to theological college. That's how rough he was. And he saw a landline of Billy Graham out in the outback. You know, the big screens and everything else. And he came forward and gave his heart to the Lord. But he had a word of knowledge. He had always played, just as, always played that hymn. And he would say, there are three people getting up over there going to give their hearts to God. And as he was saying it, three people would stand to their feet and walk out. He said, I see a man and a woman and two small children from over this side coming and giving their heart to the Lord. Won't you come? And a man and a woman and three children or whatever would step up. He had a word of knowledge on salvation. And every Sunday night, usually round about anywhere between 150 and 200 people would give their hearts to Jesus. Why did that happen? Because it was a move of God. It was a sovereign move of God. You can't manufacture that. Only God can do that. All right, hands down, no praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, now in the name of Jesus, yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How's that feel? Any improvement or the same? Still the same back? Sit down the front row. I want us to turn to Exodus, did I say? And Exodus 33. And verse 12. I remember one time my pastor said to me, he said, would you please, in midweek, we used to get about 800 to 1,000 people midweek. He said, we're going to have a water baptismal service on the Sunday. He said, would you assist me in the water baptismal tank? And I said, absolutely. And so we had this water baptismal service, and they brought a woman in a wheelchair, a rather big woman. They brought her in a wheelchair, and she had MS and unable to walk at all. And they brought her down, and I looked at my pastor, and I said, Clark, how are we going to handle this? I mean, we're only two guys, and we're both skinny. And I said, how are we going to handle this, just the sheer weight of it? And he said, I have no idea. So they lowered her into the baptismal tank, and as they put her in the tank, Clark and I were holding her up in the water. And we didn't have really an official tank. We just had a horse trough. We do it a bit rough and ready in Australia. And so we're holding her up in this horse trough, and the glory of God came down on the horse trough, and both of us raised our hands and went, hallelujah! And as we did that, she dropped, right? And because she was a dead weight, and so I said, God, Clark, I said, the woman. He said, oh my God, fish her out. So we ran the baptismal tank, and we found her, and we lifted her back up and held her up. She's spurting water out of her mouth. And we held her up, and I said, well, she's baptized, right? And he said, man, I don't know what God's doing, but there's a power of God in this water. And so the glory of God hit us again in another wave. And we both raised our hands up. We're overcome by this glory. We said, God, thank you, Jesus. And down she went again. And I thought, oh, and Clark said to me, for God's sake, man, lift her out of that water. I said, it's very easy for you to talk. And we both ferreted around. We picked her up, and the glory of God hit her. This time, she never went into the drink. This time, she lay flat on top of the water and levitated. Now, I don't know about you, but my religious mind, I thought, I'm in some spooky stuff here, Jack. Because God will always freak you out, right? And my boss panicked. He said, for God's sake, put her feet down to the ground. So I'm an employee, right? So I pushed her feet. With that, she turned around. Now she's face down on the water baptismal tank, levitating above the water. And I said to my boss, I said, Clark, I do not see what's happening, do I? And he said, and neither do I. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, we knew that we had lost control of the meeting. And all of a sudden, she dropped to the bottom. And we drove down into the water, and we pulled her out. She stood up on her own accord. And she's like this in the pool, worshiping God. Oh, glory to God. See, I've seen too much. I've been burned. I've been spoiled for anything normal. And if I've got to plod, if I've got to be faithful in the Word of God till I see another move of God, I was faithful in the Word of God before the move in the 90s, and I plodded, and I preached, and I prayed, and I believed God. And then one day, it suddenly came into our ministry, and it changed everything. Can you be faithful? Can you be faithful with the small so that God can bring you into the large? You say, I'm not seeing anything happen in my life. Be faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. That means being in church on time. That means being punctual. That means doing things that are arduous, but you do them because you want to be faithful. Faithful in the tithe. Faithful in giving. A faithful husband. A faithful wife. Faithful to the pastor. Being accountable. Because we live in a rebellious world, so accountability is not an easy thing these days. Let me read the scripture. Verse 13, now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you progressively, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people. And the Lord said, say the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. The only thing that can give you true rest is His presence. Moses said to the Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, do not carry us up from here. I'd rather be here than there and have your presence here, or rather not have your presence there. Everybody wants to travel to there, but sometimes God wants you faithful here. Do you get that? Right? We're always striving to be somewhere other than we are if it's hard. But life is hard. Church life is hard. Can be difficult because the whole time we're dealing with human beings. Frustrating. So Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all other people on the face of the earth? So what makes us different? It's the presence. I mean, for years you've thought yourself normal. But ask your bring your neighbor to church who doesn't know God. Bring them to church and let them watch you do what you do in church. And then ask the neighbor, do you think I'm normal? Hallelujah. God's looking for men and women that will burn with the presence of God, with the fire of God. I talk fire until I saw fire. I talk the Holy Ghost until we saw the Holy Ghost. I talk miracles until we saw miracles. I talk salvation until we had salvation. There is power in your confession. There is power in what you speak. You need to be careful what you speak. I constantly tell my wife, you are the most beautiful thing that God has ever done for me. And we're both getting older, for God's sake. I used to be good looking 100 years ago. But whatever you want, you have to create an atmosphere over your life. And the thing that creates the atmosphere is your words. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. What do you want over your ministry? Begin to speak it over your ministry. Build yourself an atmosphere that you can function out of. I'll be honest with you. I'm so looking forward to the next wave and to the next move of God's Spirit. I live for it every day. Every time I wake up in the morning, I'm looking for it. I'm believing God for it. See, it's happened to me several times. Way back in the charismatic days, I was only a young strapper in those days, but God gave me a move of God in the city. I was a high-profile figure in the charismatic move in my 20s. I used to preach to Roman Catholic priests and nuns. Glory to God. But go out in the power of God and get healed. Charismatic move, and then the other one in the 90s. And I've had some startling moves of God since. So you've got to live in that thing. And not everything God asks you to do sounds reasonable. Hands up those who know God's totally illogical. Bishop Ron Cody one time, this is a true, very true story, not that any other story I've told you was a lie, but this is a very true story. He was with Ray Bloomfield in New Zealand, and they were just chilling out together, and both Ray Bloomfield is a very colorful character, and Bishop Ron Cody was a very colorful character, and when they were together, they tried to outdo each other, how bizarre they could get. Just, we're mere males, sister, we're mere males. And so what happened was that he's turned around to Ray Bloomfield And he was preaching at Ray's church, a church of about 700 people. You've got to understand Ray Bloomfield. This is the man I told you about yesterday. You've got to understand about Ray Bloomfield. Ray Bloomfield made an announcement. He said, I'm going to walk on water after the service. So we're having a barbecue out at the lake. So they rowed Ray out to the middle of the lake. And he got out of the boat and sunk like a rock. Hallelujah. But you know what he said? He said, people said, why did you do that? He said, well, what if it worked? See, I love people living on the edge. You must be colorful because the Holy Spirit's colorful. But Ron Cody turns around and says, do you know this person? And he told him the person and gave Ray the address. He said, how did you know that, Ron? Ron said, I don't. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And Ray said, well, they're in my congregation. And Bishop turned around and said, let's go and see them. And Ray could not understand this. So Ron Bishop said, take me to him now. So Ray thought, I'll go with the program. I'll go with this. And he drove him to the house. Bishop gets out of the car, and he was an infectious little man, a little bald-headed man, and waving his arms everywhere. Glory to God. And he was always excited. Colorful as you can get. And he walked and he knocked on the door. And the door opened, there was a man opened the door with tears streaming down his face. And Ron said, are you so-and-so? And the man said, yes, I am. And he said, excuse me. And he walked past the man into his lounge and stood on his head up against the wall, upside down. Ray Bloomfield thought, he's really gone too far this time. What on earth is he doing? And Ron prophesied, the bishop prophesied, for yea saith the Lord, your marriage is upside down, but I, the Lord, are going to put it the right way up. And they were in the middle of contemplating a divorce in their marriage. And the glory of God came down because a man obeyed seemingly a silly command. We've got to learn to listen. And it's got to be beyond our logic. We've got to depend on the presence of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now turn with me to Genesis, please. Genesis. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say I don't care if I have to plod. I don't care if I need to be faithful. His presence will go with me. And I find the call of God a fascinating thing. I find men's lives, pardon me, that have been sold out to the presence of God. I find their lives very colorful. I find things, and we talked this afternoon, Brother Jim was telling us, we did a bit of a video, and he was telling us some of the things that happened to him and some of the men of God that were around him in those early days. Very powerful. So, we're looking at Genesis chapter 22. Let me read the scripture, and then I'll just share a couple of things, and then I want to start to pray for everybody. Glory to Jesus. Verse 1, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham. Just volume down a little bit. Thank you, Richard. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell you. If you're wanting God to be detailed when he calls you, that really happens. That's how you know God is a man and not a woman. Because if God was a woman, he would give you an encyclopedia of details. But God, see, men are few words many times. We'll go and out for the day and we'll come back and our wife will say, darling, what did you do today? And our response normally is, stuff. Well, what kind of stuff did you do? You know, stuff. Who did you see today? Did you go to the mall? I did. Did you see anybody that we know? Yes. It's like pulling teeth. Because men don't want to talk like that. And women can't understand that, because it's like you ask a woman if she's coming from the supermarket. See, when I go to a mall, I don't want to go to every shop. I hate shopping at the best of times. So I go to the mall. I know the shop I'm going to. I walk in, conquer, and leave. Right? But a woman will say, I'm just going into, there's a sale on in the mall. I'm going to get some things because it's on sale. And so she'll go in, she'll get an item of clothing, and then she'll see all the other bargains, and then she'll bring home an entire shopping cart full of things. That's how a woman shops, right? And she visits everything. She shops, she visits everything. Now, my wife is frustrating, because when she goes shopping, then she brings it all home and then takes it all back. I can never, any woman like this in this church? You do that? You just go and you fill up the, you come back and you take, I said, what are you taking it back for? She said, I don't like it. I said, why couldn't you like it on the mall? And so she comes home and I say, honey, how did it go? I never ask Kathy how did it go, because she'll tell me. In absolute detail. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, go to the mountain, which I will show you. And Hebrews said he went, didn't care where he was going. He was going because God told him to go. No details, no information. Hallelujah. Now listen, men are just as evil. Women go to the mall and get broke buying bargains. But we're deceitful as men. We come back home and we say, honey, I got a bargain. What did you buy? I brought a Chevy. Glory to God. I brought a Chevy Silverado. And you know what? God gave me great financial arrangement with a finance company that's going to sink you to death. And you know what else he gave me, honey? It's on the back of the Silverado. He gave me a boat. Glory to God. So we go. Women go broke on little things. We go broke on huge things. Glory to Jesus. And we try to tell our wives that God gave us the finance, which is absolute rubbish. God would prefer to give you the whole thing, whole as bowls. So Abraham arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, took his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and then began the trip to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, listen to this. On verse 2, he said, go and do a burnt offering on one of the mountains. But on the third day, verse 4, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. Abraham said to his servants, settle down there, stay here with the donkey, and I and the young man will go yonder, worship, and come again to you. And so now we have a story. We know the story without reading the lot. Abraham was prepared to pay a high cost to hear the voice of God, even the life of his own son. Abraham is the epitome of fatherhood. He's the father of many nations, and he was called to be a father. His calling was to be a father. He is our spiritual father. He is our faith father. And his family is getting bigger and bigger and bigger as people get saved and born again. But listen to this. God called him to be a father when he didn't have a child. Why did God choose Abraham? So let's look at Abraham's life. Abraham gets a call. You're going to be a father of many nations. So let's look at the deal here. Abraham's wife was barren. So how could he be the father of many nations? She's also 90 years old. Now, they hadn't played hooky for a lot of years. Can I say that here? I think we said toot the first day, didn't we? And what was the second day? What did I? We said but. And I don't know how to describe what I've just described without being tasteless, but you know what I mean when I know what I mean, right? When you're hanky-panky, When you're 90 years old, you know you're just drinking tea and stroking your cat. Hallelujah. You're not getting excited when the missus comes and you think, well, hi. You're not doing that anymore. It's, hey, glory to God. When you first knew it was, hi, mama. Right? But now, hey. Sometimes you don't even look at her. Oh. I mean, what's left when you're 100 and your wife's 90? I mean, not a lot of excitement going on there. Meg, you need to have hobbies when you get to that age, right? You need to go fishing or something. So now God comes to a 100-year-old man with a 90-year-old wife and says, you're going to be the father of many nations. I mean, that's a cruel hoax. That's got to be a joke, right? God didn't come to him when he was 30 and ready to go. I shouldn't have done that, right? But he waits until everything is against him and he speaks to him. You're going to be the father of many nations. And the Bible says in a previous chapter, Abraham lost it. He laughed his flipping head off. He couldn't believe that God would speak to him like that. Sarah almost had a fit. I mean, she at least had memories of what it was like to give birth to a child. You try thinking about that when you're 90. Pushing out some big head kid when you're 90 years old. Lord have mercy. Glory be to Jesus. So she's barren. And when the word came to them, the productive years had passed, so the word was impossible to be performed in human terms. She's barren, but she's also old. I mean, if my wife got to 90 and I got to 100 and God spoke to me, you're going to have a kid, I'd go and see a therapist because I'm not hearing too good. Hallelujah. And what I love about God, he waits till it's absolutely impossible, that there's just nothing there. And God can take what you've got, nothing, and make it into an amazing thing. God waited until there were three strikes against them. Barren, old, and he's impotent. I'm allowed to say impotent? We all know what that is. And God says, because she's barren, because she's old, and because you're impotent, I'm going to give you a child. Whoopee-dee! Hallelujah! Wow! Carnival time! See, I think the Word of God is an extremely humorous. We read that. I've heard men read that. Glory to God. After these events, God tested and proved Abraham. And we read it like this, but this is crazy. There's a guy in the name, and I looked at this, I found it in the book of Acts. Some guy there called Blastus. And I mean, who calls their kid Blastus? For God's sake, how can a parent look at a little cute baby and say, wow, we'll call him Blastus? What kind of sick joke is that, to send a kid to school who's called Blastus? Glory to God. What's your name, sonny? Blastus. I love the way God does all this because it's crazy stuff. Even talking about it now from the Bible, it's crazy. But more crazy for them because they've got to deal with this thing mentally. Isn't it amazing how God will wait till everybody's saying, three strikes you're out, and God says, three strikes and you're in. It's weird, isn't it? Often God will wait until the cards are stacked against you, when it looks impossible for the word to come to life, and then God says somehow, now I'm ready. And you say, but God, I'm impotent. I'm married to a hag. She used to be beautiful, but she's an old 90-year-old thing. I can't even look at it now. She's an old thing. I've walked with her for years. Read this the way it would sound if this happened to you today. If you're over 65 or near 70, trust me, would you want to go through this? You didn't want to go through it when you were young. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. So here's the promise of God. God would make him a father and the father of many nations, and that his seed would possess the gates of the enemy. The true blessing of God is not just the blessing on you, but the blessing on your seed, because your seed will possess gates that you missed. And one thing about Abraham, he was the friend of God. He listened to God. And we find his absolute obedience in chapter 22 when God says, take the son of promise that I gave you in your old age and kill him. He said, okay. And I like what Abraham said to the men that he left down beyond, below the mountain. He said, me and the boy shall return. So in spite of his failures, Abraham believed God unwaveringly. He staggered not. He had gritty faith. And I want to say this. God's not looking for church people. He's looking for real people. Write this down, because this is outstanding stuff. Your faith is not tried in the comforts of life. Your faith is not tried in the comforts of life. Your faith must be tried by fire. And we don't want to hear that in the church culture today, because we all want to feel good. We hate trial, we hate crisis, but life sucks sometimes. Faith is tried through crises, three things: crises, trouble, and the big one is contradictions. So when God tells you one thing and you're seeing another, how do you handle contradictions? How do you handle contradictions when the prophetic word goes over your life and it seems years and it still hasn't come to pass? God's not governed by our time frame, neither is he governed by our impatience. I got a word that I would reach Australia, and I'm 70 years old. Why didn't God speak to me when I was there, 40 years old, when I had the energy to do it? I remember one time, I don't know whether I told the story, but I was in Steve Hill's old church, this guy was preaching, and I was preaching to an Hispanic congregation through an interpreter, Dr. David Remedios, a cardio specialist. An incredible doctor from Louisiana. And he was my interpreter. He's a Puerto Rican, so he's my interpreter. After it, his intercessor, as we were walking out into the green room, the intercessor said, brother, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. And the senior pastor previously told me, if he gives you a word, you can take this to the bank. He's walked with David Remedios for something like 13 years. And he spoke this to me. And I was pondering retiring, believe it or not. Because when you're over 65, you do ponder that. And so I was thinking about that, and he said this to me. He said, brother, God doesn't want you to consider your age. He's going to bring you into a time, a place of timelessness. And he said, I see a major outpouring, a major awakening in your ministry. And he said, I see your face on posters. He didn't know me from Adam. So that's what I've got before me. To me, it looks impossible. To me, I can't see how it works. But I've got enough history with God to know that when the glory comes and God sends a move of God, it is a game changer. It changes your life, your mindsets, and your thinking many times. Abraham was challenged for sure. But you want to exercise and operate in faith, it's going to be tried by fire, not in the comforts of life. And when God sees you using faith through the adversities of life, he can point to you and say, he's my friend. Now, it bothers me. You know a song that really bothers me? Because I'm an opinionated young man. What really bothers me is that I am a friend of God. That bothers me. I am a friend of God. I'm an adulterer, but I am a friend of God. I'm a cheat and a liar, but I am a friend of God. That bothers me, that song. Another song I don't like either is that song I told at lunch We used to sing it in our church. You remember this one? Very old one. I got the joy bells in my heart. Remember that song? Anybody know that song? My God, thank God that didn't afflict your ears. But my pastor loved that song, and he would sing it every Sunday. I got the joy, and he'd go like this. He's got a big jaw. I got the joy bells in my heart. I got the joy bells in my heart. And he'd sing it like this, and he would sing the song until one time the youth pastor stood up. He hated the song like I did, and he stood up in the middle of the service and went, ding dong, ding dong. We never sung that song again. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, write this down. Write this down. The call of God is disruptive. When God calls, he interrupts human affairs. God's call stops everything. He has no regard for anything except that he delivers his word to you. And there is a scriptural pattern here. He called Abraham twice. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He called Moses, Moses, Moses. Whenever he calls your name twice, it's a sign of covenant. The Bible says this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So when God gives you a call in private, normally a call of God will come to you in private. God will speak to you privately. And then if it is a word from God, God calls you once privately, but then God will come twice, maybe three times, and he'll speak to you through a prophet or give you a word out of the word. But he'll always confirm the call that he gives you once with twice. But it's a sign of covenant. David said this in the word of God. He said, once has he spoken it, twice have I heard it. Power belongs to God. In other words, when God shouts the call in heaven, it echoes on earth in your spirit. What we carry is eternal. We carry an eternal call of God. It was birthed in heaven. And now we walk out that eternal call in time. I'm very aware, and especially operating in the anointing, that I'm a creature of eternity. I'm a man that is passing through. This is not where I want to end up. I just said to Jim in the office today, I said, when we get to heaven, we're going to wonder why we fought so hard to be here on earth. Can you give me five more minutes? Are you getting something out of this? You're either very intellectual and quiet, or you're actually enjoying this. The Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's mine in the heavenlies, it's mine on earth. If God calls you from heaven and you receive that call and it's confirmed twice, three times, four times, then that call of God, nothing can destroy the call of God in your life. You might be beset by certain circumstances and you might be frustrated, but I tell you what, you hold on to God. When God speaks, we always think that it's going to happen tomorrow. But it doesn't happen. Usually God has to process us. Every time God gives you a word, I've found this. Every time God gives you a word, many times hell follows. Because God's got to build you to be able to handle the word. He's got to build your character. It takes character to walk in the power of God. And some of us like me come into the gospel with no character and no integrity. So I had to be taught that by God. I had to be taught that let my yes be yes and my no be no. I had to be taught to be punctual. My pastor was a stickler on punctuality. When he told me a certain time, I better be there. And what did that teach me? It learned me to die to my willfulness and accept the command of another. And what dealt with my pride is serving the man of God as a servant. I served the man of God. I did wash his car. You know Dale Gentry, and Joel's seen Dale, Brother Dale Gentry and I in joint meetings together. When he's praying, and I used to have a pastor's conference in the Ritz-Carlton in Phoenix, when it was his turn to serve and pray for people, I would take a towel and I would take a bottle of water, and I was running the conference, but I would serve him and I would give him a towel and I'd give him water as he prayed for people on the altar call. It's called servant. The way up is the way down. John said, I must decrease that he may increase. Learning to decrease is a process. Crises, trouble, contradiction teach us to decrease so that he can increase in our life. So it's not about how we behave at church. It's how we behave when we're not in church and we're not around anybody and no one can see us, how we behave. Do you still behave as well out there as you behave in here? What do you do when you go home from the service on the computer? Number two, God's voice is God's invasion. When God speaks, he arrests human affairs. He invades our space and declares, I'm getting ready to bring a change in your life. Get ready. When God says, I'm going to use you, I'm going to put my anointing upon you, what he's telling you, I'm going to change you. I'm going to take you to another level. I'm going to bring you up. I've prophesied over this man many times. He just brings the prophetic out in me. But whenever you get a prophetic word, God's telling you, in spite of the details of the word, you are about to undergo a change, and it could really freak you out. So you need to be wary, and you need to be attuned to listen to my voice. I'm almost through. Just two more things. Here's a question. Have you ever had God disrupt your life? Just when you, and I love this about God, my God. Just when you got everything calm, everything is finally settled in your life. You've got a nice home with a white picket fence. You've got a wife and 2.5 children. I never could understand that when people said 2.5 children. You must have half a human running around the house. Glory to God. When everything's calm and your life is exactly where you are. You got your promotion in your job and everything's gone wife. Your wife dresses to go to church and she looks so nice. She even wears a little hat to church and you have a little puppy dog for your children. The puppy runs around. Yep, 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 yep. And the neighborhood, you love the neighborhood and everything's fine and you've bought the lovely, you've just believed God for this beautiful car and everything's great and everything's just dishy and very calm and all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, Nigel! Who? Abraham! And our life is never the same. And he arrests us. Just when you thought everything was normal and quiet. I want you to write this down. When God calls you, it is death to a settled life. When God calls you, it's death to all your comfort zones. You'd be surprised how many comfort zones you've got when you lose them. When God calls you, it's death to personal preference. When God calls you, oftentimes, it's death to your family. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about that you have to I sacrifice my family to be here. I'm not the only one paying the price. My grandchildren pay the price. My wife, my son pays the price. My daughter-in-law pays the price. The sacrifice is felt by everybody that is connected to you. That's the call of God. You have to believe when God calls you that God will give a grace to your family and your friends. But sometimes it's death to your friends. I left everybody I knew in Australia back there 24 years ago. Everybody. But because I sowed, friends, I've been blessed with hundreds. I was thinking today, I'm such a blessed man. God's given me a country that I can really love. I love this nation. When I'm back in Australia and I hear somebody, a tourist, speaking the American accent, because I know you don't think you've got one. And I love it. I love hearing it. When I see the American flag might pop up on the news in Australia, I love it. I love to touch the American flag. Someone in New York gave me an American flag and I just love to touch it. It's in my office. He gave me a great love for this nation. I think Americans are the greatest people on the face of the earth. I won't listen to any criticism. He gave me great friends. He gave me an amazing wife. Amazing grandchildren. It's amazing. Little Sabella, my little four-year-old, was lying on a rug, a black rug on our couch that my wife had painstakingly crocheted or did something. It was a black thing. She was lying on it and she vomited all over it. Poor little thing. Went to the doctor with a virus and she hasn't eaten for 2 days. And while she was at the doctor, pastor prayed for her. Joel and I were in agreement. And when she got back, my wife texted me while I was in the meeting, when she got back from the meeting, she ate for the first time in 2 days. That was an instant result, bro. Right? So here's the deal. Hands up those who've heard the voice of God call you. It's time for this church to prepare for what's coming. There's a move of God coming to this church. I speak into the atmosphere. There's revival coming to this church. When we pray for revival, we're basically confessing, God, we're dead. Revive us. You want to see the greatness of God? Do what I do. Be faithful. Plod if necessary, but with your eyes always looking to when the suddenly will enter the door and change your life forever. I want everybody to stand, please. Let's just take this pulpit away. Thank you, men. We've got the greatest men in this church. They are a blessing to me. Wonderful Jesus. There are people here that, and you don't know this, but there are people here that have a miracle ministry. God's not looking for a hot shot. He's looking for somebody that's available. Do you know how hard it is just to get somebody available? My pastor required of me, he said, I want you in every prayer meeting. Don't you ever call me and tell me you cannot make the prayer meeting. He said, you will be there. He said, if you're sick, he said, if you're dying, you will be at the prayer meeting. That puts a mine into my soul. I love my pastor. I got angry with him. He annoyed the tripe out of me. But I loved him because he stayed and kept my feet on the fire. And I can enjoy the blessing of full-time ministry today because my pastor sowed into me. And not only that, fathers sought me out and mentored me, and I received their anointings. So here's what I'm going to do tonight. I have great faith in impartation. Whenever I've seen great men of God, it's been by the laying on of hands that miracles and things have flown out of that. It was by the laying on of hands that grabbed Pastor Jim's hands with warts in his hand, on his hands. He put his hands on his hands and he woke up the following morning clean skin. It's by the laying on of hands, impartation. In just about every religion, the laying on of hands is a doctrine. So tonight I'm going to lay hands on you. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God that God give you some grit, that God give you some I don't know what to call it, but just that ability to be able to, on the inside, say, whatever comes my way, I'm going to fulfill the call of God on my life. You don't know what your future is, neither do I. But I'm pumped. Everybody say, I'm pumped. Say, I'm invincible. Hallelujah. That went live stream then, right there, didn't it? God bless you. Hallelujah. So we're going to make an altar. If tonight you want impartation, I'll tell you my attitude to people that move in impartation. If they're moving in impartation, I'm there every opportunity I get. I want hands laid on me. I want hands laid on me. Hallelujah. If I'm in the presence of a mighty man of God, I want them to lay hands on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, just tell God you love Him. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm too old. No, you're not. Abraham was old. He was 100. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to open the altars tonight. If you want impartation tonight by the Holy Ghost, you ought to be running up here. You should spare nothing. You should be up here saying, God, I want everything I can get, and then some, and then some, and then some, and then some. Everybody say, and then some. And then some. You want as much as you can get. As much as you can get. Hungry. You never know what your future holds. Who would have thought years and years ago that I would end up in the land of the brave and the free? Meeting people like Jim and Lou. Great people. I love being in Pastor Jim's presence. And Lou, I love it. Had I not answered the call of God, I would never have met any of these people. Hallelujah. You have been on one level, and God's about to accelerate you into another level. You have done what you know, and you have done what you've been familiar with over the years. But God is about to bring you into a place of no man's land. You've never been here before, and God's about to accelerate His call on your life. You're going to get into a realm that you're going to have to absolutely depend on God to bring what He shows you to pass. It's going to take, like Abraham, it's going to take a miracle of God to bring it to pass. So be ready. Be in prayer. I know you're a faithful man, but be in prayer. God's about to accelerate. Remember, accelerate. So when it happens, it's going to be like on a merry-go-round that you can't stop, but it's a glorious one. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing on this man. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I know Jim believes in miracles, and you believe in miracles. But there's a change coming to you. And when that change comes, there's going to be an aggressive boldness that's going to come on your life. And I see you as one chasing the impossible. Miracles will be such a part of your thinking and your heart and your spirit. You'll look for the impossible case, not the maybe case. You'll look for the impossible case. And there'll be such a boldness, Lou, such a boldness that will rise up in your spirit, and it will come by the Holy Spirit, and it will be exhilarating, and you'll see results. It's not like you won't see results. You'll see results because of this, in the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you've been in the ministry a lot of years, but your great day is yet to come. Your shining glory is yet to come. Raise your hands to Jesus. Father, I pray for this dear woman of God right now. Holy Spirit, release the anointing. Release the anointing. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, the anointing. Gritty faith. Gritty faith. Whew, Jesus. right now. Holy Ghost, touch her. Holy Ghost, touch her tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Now, when I lay hands on you now, I want you to soak it up. I want you to be like a sponge tonight. I want you to soak it up. It's not just my anointing that's being imparted. It's the anointing of fathers that have imparted to me over the years. Some of the most mightiest men you could ever meet. So when I pray for you today, even Paul prayed in Timothy. He said, I pray in the spirit of my fathers. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, right now, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Lord, I just release the anointing over her today by the power of God and heal her right now in the name of Jesus. The goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. I tell you, you two are going to be talking about the goodness of God. God's going to give you and Richard a revelation on the goodness of God. I know God's good, but he's going to really show you how good he is. And I see you ministering the goodness of God. It's going to bring men to a repentance quickly because the goodness is going to be so profound over your life in the name of Jesus. It's going to come, Richard, by revelation. Not just knowing God's good in your head, but you're going to have an encounter with God, and God, by an encounter, is going to show you both his goodness. And it's going to stagger you. When you see the depth of how good he is, it will stagger you. And from that encounter, from the encounter, not by knowledge, but from that encounter, you will minister the goodness of God to people that are wretched and bankrupt. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her now, Holy Spirit, right now, Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father. Lord, I release the anointing over her. Father, the anointing's been on her all night, and I'm asking, touch her, Lord, right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, and complete that healing by the power. There it is. By the power of God. By the power of God. By the power of God. Karasekiti libriata. Father, I thank you. God's going to give you a keenness in the spirit. You're going to be a person that's attentive to the voice of God. And you won't speak until you know it's God. But God's going to bring a sensitivity to his word and to his voice. And you'll speak it, and it will bring change into people's lives. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. I release the anointing. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, touch my sister. Now just receive that. Open yourself now to the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Touch him today. Touch him today, Spirit of God. Open yourself now to the Spirit. That's it. That's it. Whew. Jesus. Touch him, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these two. This wild couple. Glory to God, this crazy couple. You know, God loves crazy people. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to give you a faith that on the surface looks reckless, but it's given by God. You're going to do things in faith realms. Hallelujah. You're going to look at something and say, yes, we can do that, because I've got faith to meet it in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see God putting money in your hand, and here's the caution. When he does, you better be faithful. Because if he brings it, he also can take it. In the name of Jesus. Did you like that? Shakabai. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, touch her today. Touch her today. Use her mightily. Raise your hands, precious. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing over her life right now. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. God never called you to lay back in a recliner and stroke your tabby cat. Glory be to God. God put a fire in your spirit and a fire in your belly. Hallelujah. You look to something that God's going to bring your way in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
76.
Well, Abraham was 100. You got a long way to go. You're just a girl. That's all you are. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that God can use Abraham 100 years old?
Yes, he's got a calling.
He has. I can sense that when I prayed for you tonight. So you can't lean back on a recliner for the rest of your life. God's got a plan for your life. And I know that's a generic term, but he's got a purpose for your life. Now, your thing in prayer, you have to get down and you have to start asking God. I always know when God's speaking to me concerning purpose by an overwhelming, I want to do this in my spirit that rises up on the inside of me. All right? I'd always wanted to preach. Always. Always. It was in here. I never told anybody for years, but I always wanted that. It's that dream that God places in you is God's voice to you. Father, right now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the rest of you are seated. Father, touch her now. Now, open yourself to the Holy Ghost because it's coming. It's coming right now. Right now. Right now. Hila Ramashikeba. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is tonight. There it is tonight. Spirit of God. Spirit of God, Lord. I release it. I release it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Raise your hands, please. Father, touch him tonight, Holy Spirit. Touch him tonight, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just release the anointing over his life. What I shared with you before. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Here Urasaka Burasadeya. Touch him tonight, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Jesus. Nice and gentle. Hallelujah. Father, now, raise your hand, sister. Power of God touch. The power of God touch. The power of God touch now. Whoo, Shakabriata. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost touch her. Now you open your spirit to the anointing. Open your spirit to the anointing. Now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus. Ushakaba. Ushikabrosakiteya. In the name of Jesus. Father, bring Pastor a new heart and bring him new kidneys. Excuse me. I was in prayer this afternoon. Power of God filled my hotel room and I felt the glory of God. And I began to pray and earnestly, God, give this man a new heart and give him kidneys, not later on, now. In the name of Jesus, I pray tonight, Lord, deliver the heart. I really felt God's got plenty of hearts up there and he's got plenty of kidneys. And I'm asking for a new heart and new kidneys for this precious man of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it be, Father. Let strength come into his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I pray for sleep. Lord, your word says you give your beloved sleep. I'm asking for a deep, deep sleep tonight and every other night for this precious man. Right now, I release the anointing on his life. Ooh, Shapahune. Jesus. Sharomokitikianda. Jesus. Right now, a new heart and new kidneys. The power of God touch him right now. The power of God touch him right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Release those hearts and kidneys from heaven right now by the power of God. right now, right now, right now. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, right now. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, open yourself now. Spirit of God, yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Rapotiki Priyataya. Father, now. Glory to God. There it is. Jesus. Sharoba Isidiko Prangede. Father, now the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit touch it tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Karabashaka Buriata. Signs and wonders when God moves. That's what's going to happen with you. God's going to give you a passion for signs and wonders. Glory to God. A passion for signs and wonders. Hilara Mashaka. You need to get down and study some of the men of old who moved in signs, wonders, and miracles. You need to fill your head with the stories of yesterday, with history. God's going to give you a passion for this. In the name of Jesus. This thing's going to come on you like an anointing, and it's going to surprise all those that know you, because they're not going to think you're capable of being something like this. But God had another thought in the precious name of Jesus. So, Father, I just release that mantle in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The anointing. Excuse me. Open yourself now to the anointing. There it is. 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 Excuse me for coughing. Father, tonight, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just open yourself now, Father. The anointing. Touch her today. Touch her today. Touch her today, right now. Shaka Buriata. In Jesus' name. Raise your hands, please. Right up, both hands. Father, touch her today by the power of God. Father, I thank you. I just release the anointing. Lord, make your Holy Spirit and make your presence real to her in this next season. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing over her life. Thank you, Father. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, thank you for my sister. Now open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just release the anointing over your life in Jesus' precious name. When those people go back, if you could just feed the altar, that would be great. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for this woman that you will use. Glory to God. Tonight, fill her life with purpose. In the powerful name of Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus. Let it be a woman that stewards the presence. Steward your presence. I release the anointing. Jesus, in your mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Holy Ghost. There it is. There it is. Kila Rabashaka. People ask me, how do I know the will of God for my life? How do I know what I'm called to? Let me tell you something very simple. I always knew that I would preach. I knew long before I ever was recognized or got a prophetic word. God's word oftentimes comes through a dream that he places in your spirit. And many times you're too afraid to tell anybody else because you'll come over arrogant and prideful. But I always had this desire. And then one day, prophetic ministry started coming to the church and they called me out and began to prophesy over me. And nothing came as a surprise, but it came as a relief, because the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart faint. But God always stirs the furnace of the call of God. Always stirs it. And whether you're, everybody's a ministry. Not everybody's a full-time ministry, but everybody's a ministry. So whatever God has birthed in you, that little thing that you goes buzzing around on the inside of you that you would love to do with, for God but have never told anybody, that's the dream that God's placed in you. So what I used to do, I used to start speaking it out in prayer. God, I thank you. I'm going to preach one day. I'm going to preach one day. I'm going to preach. And I'd watch, well, I'd hear preachers. I remember I had LP records. Remember the old plastic records of T.L. Osborne? Hello, my friends. And I used to hear him taking great crusades in Africa. And I'd listen to him intently. I used to listen to Billy Graham all the time. I could take off Billy Graham better than Billy. In fact, if he couldn't do a campaign, they'd call me and I'd do it for him. And but I did this privately. I was feeding my dream. So when I prayed for you, go back to your seat. So tonight, when I lay hands on you tonight, you have to be hungry to receive what God wants to impart in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I just release the anointing over this man right now. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just release the anointing. Whew, now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Ghost. Now, in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Kila Rama Shakaya. Father, now, there it is. There it is. Whew, Jesus, touch this young man by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Kila Rama Shakaburiata. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, glory to God. Last night was good for you. Yeah, I felt it was last night for you was a defining moment for
just
you.
The start.
Huh?
Just the start,
eh? Yeah. I really felt God's hand on you last night. Incredible. And amazing that you can come to meetings not knowing what's going to happen, and then you have a defining moment.
Yes, sir.
An encounter with God. He's so faithful. Father, touch this precious brother tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, that which I have, I give to him tonight.
Thank you.
In the precious name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, let it be Holy Spirit, let it be Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Hello. Father, right now, raise your hands, please. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost over her tonight, in the name of Jesus. Father, I release the anointing. Who shakabai? In the precious name of Jesus. Use her mightily. Use her mightily. Use her mightily in the days that lie ahead in her life. In Jesus' name. Father, now the anointing. The anointing. Yes. Hu shakabriata. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I release the anointing over this man. In Jesus' precious name. Father, now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Lord, touch him today. Jesus. Touch him today. Just be open. Just be open. Just be open, glory to God. Power of God, touch you. Now, Holy Ghost, in the precious name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus, now, Spirit of God, touch her today. Touch her today. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Shebro osebri anaya. Rapatoko pohosekeyana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now the anointing. Now the anointing. Right now. Right now. Right now. Father, touch him today by the Spirit of God. Just receive it. Just receive it. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Oh, blessed Jesus. I want to talk to everybody on live stream tonight. You're watching this on the internet. I want you to put your hands out towards the screen right now in the name of Jesus. And I believe the same way that the Holy Ghost has been touching people on this altar, God can touch you right where you are in your lounge, wherever you are in your office. God can touch you right now. Father, I pray for those watching today that the impartation of the Holy Spirit touch them. God commission them. Cause a dream to be birthed in them today in Jesus' precious name. Father, today I release the anointing over their lives in Jesus' precious name. Whatever country is watching today, let that anointing fill them to overflowing. Let them leave this program with purpose in their heart. We believe it in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, who shakabai, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, now the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Yes, just open, sis. Just receive it today by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Raise your hands, please. Father, now the anointing. There it is, the anointing, the anointing. Who shakabai. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, just release that dream out of his life. Let it become a reality. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just... Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch him today. Oh, God, just let the anointing wash you, my brother, now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I release the anointing. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Father, now, Spirit of God, open yourself to the Spirit now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God, Father, now. Now, Spirit of God, Lord, I just release the anointing over her life in Jesus' name. Father, now touch him. Touch him, Spirit of God. Yes. Whew, glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, tomorrow's the last night. Hands up those who've got any friends left since you got saved. You know, people wonder, how can I invite people to church? If you're a bit bashful, just go to the telephone book and pick a number and say, hello, tell them who you are. So I'm giving you an invitation to happy hour. Only serving high-level drinks. And tell them the drinks are on the house. Amen? Anyone will come for free liquor. Is that right? Bring them to the house of God. But seriously, last night, tomorrow night, I want you to begin right now to build an expectation that the last night's going to be very powerful. Bring somebody. Hands up those who will literally make contact with somebody. One person. I'm very blessed by that. Hallelujah. Hands up those that will actually pick up the phone and call at least somebody to come that maybe hasn't been here at these meetings. All right. Well, one, two, three. So we've got a few. What about over here? We've got a few? All right. And let's believe God. Have you enjoyed the meeting so far? Yeah. Been a good time? I'm growing to love you. When I first met you, I thought that would never happen. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm really getting a love for you. I do. And you're a precious congregation. And I love the anointing and the atmosphere in this church. It's great. It's great. So let's put your hand on your heart tonight. Say, Father God, the words that you've given this week. Let it cement in my spirit. I'm excited about my future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Praise God. Go ahead and stand with us. We're so glad that you were here with us tonight. We call you the blessed of the Lord, and we seal the things that you've heard and that you have experienced tonight by the Holy Spirit in your heart, that they become a part of you. It's not just something you heard, but it's something that now becomes part of you. Remember the things that you have received tonight. Don't let them go. Don't let them slip. Lay hold of them. Claim them for your own and speak it daily, several times during the day. I call you blessed. Go with God.